as we come together on this evening, continuing to give God thanks for all that He has done for us. I could venture to say that we all enjoy freedom. We all enjoy freedom. The weather is getting ready to change outside, and we know it changes back and forth. We're not finished with all of our cold days yet, but there are going to be those days where the sun is going to be shining so bright, it's going to be warm outside. We're no longer confined to the inside. We're going to be able to go outside, enjoying freedom. Remember, as growing up, we had more freedom than some of the other kids in the neighborhood. There were these this lady that lived across. She was a single parent, and her three children, when they came home, they got off the bus, they went in the house, and they closed the door. Every now and then, you would see them peep out the window. They wasn't supposed to have been doing that, but they did. Soon as mom came home, those kids shot out that door. They had freedom for a little while. They enjoyed that freedom. Some of us have pets. I say, some of you have pets. And when you let that pet out, that pet enjoys that freedom. But that little while that you give that freedom to them. I want us to consider the freedom that we all have, or that we all can have. The freedom in worshiping God, the freedom in knowing that we are no longer shackled to sin. It is a great freedom. A freedom that many people do not experience, a freedom that many people don't want to experience because they love the life of sin. They are slaves to sin. Although we have freedom in Christ, we are still slaves to righteousness. So in a sense, yes, we're free, but on the other hand, we know that we are shackled to something or somebody. Something that is greater than we are, somebody that is greater than anybody that has ever lived, but we still have freedom. And so we look again at the Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. We're going to back up a little bit and we're going to look at verse 15. As we talk about being a child of God and how to obtain freedom, because we need to know how we're to obtain freedom, because we want to be free. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? He says, by no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. Set free from sin, but yet you are now slaves to righteousness. So we're not trying to figure out today how to be free away from righteousness, but how to be free away from sin and be a slave to righteousness. The Bible tells us in the beginning, when God created man and then He created woman, and it was told there in Genesis chapter 2, that a man should leave his mother and father. And there are many children that are ready to be free from mom and dad. But He tells them that you cleave unto your wife. But again, we're no longer free. You have someone that is going to still hold your feet to the fire, and you're still going to have to do some things around the house from time to time. And now you realize that I'm not under my mom and dad anymore, but I am joined together with my spouse. neither one of those positions are bad at all. But when we start talking about being free from sin and coming to righteousness, that's something to look at. That's something to be glorified, God to be glorified about, giving us that freedom away from sin. You know, again, you were slaves to righteousness, but now you are slaves to sin, but now you are slaves to righteousness. It's a great way to be free, isn't it? To be slaves to something or somebody that's going to take care of you. That's going to give you the benefits of being part of the family of God. There are more people that need to understand, need to hear a message on freedom. And when we hear that message, we need to answer that call. First, we find in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, well, how can I obtain freedom? That's the question that people ask. That's the question that was asked three different times in Scripture. And many people have asked that question since then. What must we do? Lord, what do you want me to do? Sirs, what must I do? There you have the people on the day of Pentecost. You have Saul on his way to Damascus. And then you have the Philippian jailer. Many of us have asked that same question. What must I do? What can I do to obtain freedom? What can I do in order to become a child of God? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen to the word of God. If you want freedom, listen to the word of God. If you want freedom, listen to the word of God. And not only listen, but obey what the word says. There's a lot of people that want direction, but when you give them that direction, they say, no, I want to do it my way. You want it your way, you know where you need to go, right? Burger King. And 9 times out of 10, they subject to still mess your order up. Go back and get you a free Whopper. They mess it up. But I want you to understand, when God has given us direction on how to obtain freedom, we need to listen to it. Drill sergeant, you say, it would behoove you to listen to what I'm telling you. It's wise to listen to what I'm saying, because this is how you're going to obtain freedom. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians chapter 1, and the verse is 13. Now Paul is writing to the church of Colossae here, and he tells them, he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us. From the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, or the forgiveness for sins. Free from sin. We've been freed from whatever that has caught us up and has drug us down. We're free from it because we have been obedient to the gospel call. I was reading some useless information on yesterday. I mentioned this morning how people have taken things from God's word and they have written it in a book, and this is how they say that you're supposed to live, and they've given you their doctrine now. They're taking things from the word of God, which is good. That they're looking at the word of God, that they're listening to what the word says, but they're not totally being obedient to it. So they're rewriting some things and adding to it and taking away from it. But what I was reading, they said, you know, when you are willing to submit to this particular religion, you are free from your past sins. You're free from them. Is that not God's word? Well, where God says, if you have your... if you are washed, that you are free from your past sins, that you don't have to worry about them anymore. Now, and what he's telling us is this, though, that when you are free from your past sins, you cannot do those things any longer and think that you are still free. And many people turn right back to those old sins. Some don't want to give up some things that they're doing when they come and they hear the gospel and they're willing to obey the gospel. And you say, now that you're a child of God, you cannot do that any longer. Some say, well, I just can't give it up. If you can't give it up, shame on you. Because what happens is God gives you up. as we find in the book of Romans chapter 1. He gives them up to a reprobate mind, a worthless mind, those that want to continue to live in sin. Know God, but they did not want to acknowledge Him as God. And that's what men do today when they hear the truth concerning God's word. They say, I'm willing to obey it. I'm willing to become one of His children. Well, you cannot do that any longer. You have to quit hanging out with those fellows over there at the club. You have to quit hanging out with those girls doing those things that you should not do. But those are my friends. You need to find you some new friends. This is my wife. This woman that you've been shacking with, you say, this is your wife. You have not joined yourself together before God with her. How can you say she's your wife? You have to separate yourself away from her. I just can't do it. Well, you know the truth. And know this, that as we think about the truth, when we look at what God's word says, we need to understand that the truth will set us free. If we would only listen to it. The Second Street Bridge, I'm pretty sure many of you know what time the Second Street Bridge closes. If you don't know and you go over on the Indiana side and you try to come back to Second Street Bridge, you're going to be in for a surprise. You're going to say, man, what happened? It closes at 8 o'clock. Just want you to know it closed at 8 o'clock, open back up at 5 o'clock the next morning. You know that. Are you going to go and try to come back across that bridge at 8 o'clock? No, you're not. Because you know it's closed, so now you got to use 65, or you got to use the Sherman Minton Bridge. But when we look at God's word and we see that you can know the truth and the truth will set you free, are we going to go any other direction? Are we going to do anything different? We want freedom, so where are we going to find freedom? In God's word. That's where we're going to find freedom. And as we find it, we need to accept it. And we need to start living by it. Living by it. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verses 4. You hear the word of God, and as you hear the word of God, you say, man, I never knew that God wanted me to live like that. I never knew that there was a standard that was higher than the standard of man. But now that I do know, I want to live by that standard. He says in 2 Corinthians 4 and the verses 4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So if you don't want your minds blinded, you'll quit listening to the old devil. You'll quit listening to the world. You'll start listening to what God's word says. Hearing it. That's where it all starts. Hearing what God's word says. And be willing to do what it tells you to do. Now, I could probably take a survey around the room that everybody that works in here and ask them what the weather is going to be like tomorrow. And 9 out of 10 probably would be able to tell me. If not, you'll say, come back to me in just a second. And you pull out your cell phone and you start looking. Some of you may be already doing that. Yeah, what is the weather going to be like tomorrow? Partly cloudy with a chance of something or another. I really don't know. I hadn't looked at it. But I want us to know that when we look at the Word of God and we see that there is a way that leads to destruction, there is a way that the devil is trying to take us, that is blinding us, that we need to let that way go. Because he wants to keep us shackled to sin. He wants us to be along with him. He's a coward. He's afraid. He does not want to go to that bottomless pit alone. He wants to take as many as he can along with him. His angels are already going with him, but that's not enough for him. That's not enough. He would like for you and I to go too. But you know what? We have a choice. And if we choose the wrong choice, what we have done is we have given up our freedom. We have given it up. And I love my freedom. I don't know about anybody else in here. I love my freedom. I love serving God. I love being one of His children. But when I relinquish that over to the devil, I say now that I love His way instead of God's way. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You cannot love the ways of the world and participate in those things and think that you're going to die that way and that in the end God is going to say, oh, it's okay. You served me for 30 years. It's okay. I'm going to go ahead and let you in. No. He's not going to let you in. So therefore, we need to keep refusing what the devil is trying to give us and start accepting what God has to give us. How to maintain freedom. We need to know how to maintain it. We know how to get freedom, but how can we keep freedom? How can we keep it? See, there's a lot of people, they can get a hold to a dollar, but, you know, as we were little children, we used to put that dollar in our pocket, and we used to always say, Mom or Daddy, can I go to the store, or Sister, or Sharon, whatever her, that was my sister's name, Sharon. I didn't call her Sister, I called her Sharon. Can I go to the store? And the answer is always no. That dollar is burning a hole in my pocket. I need to get rid of it. So we sneak off to the store, and we spend that dollar, some of it anyway. But I want us to understand that we have to learn how to hold on to some things. And freedom is one of the things that we need to learn how to hold on to. In the book of Psalms 119, 105, Brother Mark, you quoted this verse the other day, and I want you to get it again. I want you to read it real loud for the people to hear it. Psalm 119 and the verses 105. Freedom could be yours. Your word. He's not talking to man here. He's talking to God. Your word is a lamp to my feet. It's showing me which way to go. It's giving you that path that you need to be going down. Now, have you ever been on a street that where it was well lit? And you knew that you every street that you had to turn to get off of that street, that you could see the sign? And then one day, one night, shall I say, one night you were driving along and you came to that spot again and you missed your turn because all the street lights were out? Have you ever experienced that? It's a bad feeling. You're lost. God does not want us to be lost. Satan wants us to stay in the dark. But God wants us to come to the light. You do not have to be lost. It is a choice. But if you want to maintain freedom, you will allow His Word to guide you, to lead you. Look at what it says and continue to follow that path. That's what we need to do. That's what each one of us need to do if we want to maintain freedom. But you don't have to. Just that simple. You don't have to. You know, that's what we tell our children sometimes. I'm going to tell you what to do. And as you tell them what to do, they may respond back and say, I don't want to do it. And we're nice to them sometimes. And we say, you don't have to. But if you don't, this is what's going to happen. So you make up in your mind what you want to do. In the book of John, chapter 12, in the verses 46. See, our minds need to be made up. When we lay down at night, we've already decided what we're going to do on tomorrow. And let's not forget, if God wills and we live, we're going to do this or that. But we've made plans for tomorrow already. Some of the plans we've made, somebody made them for us. We may not want to do them, but we need to do them in order to maintain freedom. We need to do them in order to stay ahead in this life. Some of the things we can say, well, I want to change that. I really don't want to do those things. And it's your choice to do right or do wrong. It's your choice. In the book of John, chapter 12, in the verse is 46. He says, I have come into this world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. This is why Jesus came into the world. That men should not have to remain in darkness. You're glad when you're in a dark room and you don't know your way around and somebody is there and they know exactly where that light switch is and they turn that light on. Say, oh, thank you. I can see now. What is happening though with many of us, we're getting adjusted to the dark and that's where we stay. It's not doing us any good. Your light is not shining in that dark room because you adjusted to the darkness and that's where you want to remain. be the light in that room. And those that are there, you shine toward them and let them know that what you're doing is not right. You know, you're a child of God, and I want you to know that you can come away from those things. In order to maintain freedom, you must come away from those things and do the things that are pleasing to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in the verse is 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in the verse is 17. Are you willing to maintain your freedom? Are you willing to maintain your freedom? Very clear, when we become children of God, he tells us right here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We're no longer that old person. We're somebody new. And what we do is we present ourselves to the world as somebody new. And when they hear us, when they see us, they realize that we're no longer that old person, but we are somebody new. We're somebody different, and we need to be different. Amen. We need to be different in order to show them the way, to help them to become different as well, to change their old ways. Give up that old lifestyle, hanging out in the corner around that fire barrel. Hanging out in the corner, you know, shooting those dice or pitching those pennies or whatever you're doing that's wrong, we can help them away from those things. We can tell some stories about some things that we used to do. But Paul says right here to the Corinthians, he says, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We are new. And you know, if you're new, there's nothing wrong with you. You get a new car. I'm not talking about a new used car. Because a lot of times when you go get that new used car, it has as is. No warranty. But when you get a new car, if it's not a lemon, you got you something. If it's a lemon, you need to check on the lemon law. You have that same thing continue to happen to that car, you need to take it back. What we find when we become children of God, when we make a mistake, God forgives us of that mistake. When we ask for forgiveness, amen, now we're new again. We're new again. You make that mistake again, you ask God to forgive you. Or you make another mistake, a different mistake, you ask God to forgive you, and he forgives you for that. Am I telling you that you have a free ticket to sin? No. Because you mess around and be like Ananias and Sapphira, sin and die. Well, what's going to happen then? We understand that some teach that, oh, one sin will not cause you to go to hell. The Bible says all liars are going to have their part in the lake which burns with fire. I believe that. I don't know about you. So lying is a sin. So we need to get our lives in order. You know, it takes the extreme there. It talks about murderers and then it goes to liars. Everything in between, God is displeased with it. God is displeased with it. So therefore, those individuals that crucified Jesus, those individuals that murdered Jesus, God was displeased with it. But he forgave those that was willing to accept his forgiveness by turning their lives over to him. Are we willing this evening to turn our lives over to him? Are we willing to accept his word and be obedient to the gospel call? If so, why not do so? In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, in the verse is 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse is 8. How to maintain freedom. It's very important that we know how to maintain freedom, because there's a lot of people that are giving it up and saying, I just didn't know. I just didn't know. Why did you not know? Well, I never heard that before. I only hear what the preacher tells me. I only hear what the teacher tells me. I don't spend any other time studying the Word of God by myself. You need to start spending some time with God. Studying His Word. Talking to Him. Learning what He wants you to do. Study to show yourselves approved unto Him. We need to start doing those things. Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse is 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You are light in the Lord. So what am I to do to maintain this freedom? He says, walk as children of light. You walk as children of light. You know what that means? That means that we can walk with our head held high. We can walk without worrying about anything coming against us that we cannot conquer, because we are children of God. We have come away from the darkness and we are in the light. You know, a lot of times Satan don't want to mess with anybody that's in the light. But if you cross, I just need you to come right over here just for a little while. You know what many of us do? I can do that. I can go for a little while and then I can come back. Sometimes you can go, but you can't come back. Because sin has you wrapped up in your faithful brethren. They don't pass by that way. So Galatians 6 is not going to help you, because they're not passing that way. They say, I know what's over there. I don't want to go over there. But maybe, just maybe one would glance that way, and he or she will see you there. And they don't go back and talk about you to somebody else, but they turn around and they come to rescue you because they're strong. And they realize that we have to go out there into the crevices sometime in order to get the sheep out. They realize that there are some lost individuals out there that need to be found, and they're there looking for them, trying to bring them back to safety. But the individual that's walking in the light, again, Satan, he's afraid of that person because that person is strong. That person is talking to God. And as God, you know, he talked to God on that day when the sons of God came to present themselves unto him. And here come the old devil along with them. And you know, where have you been? I've been to and fro seeking who I may devour. In the book of Job, he said, have you considered my servant Job? The devil knew what type of person Job was. And you know what? He knows what type of people we are. He knows exactly what type we are. He knows the weak and he knows the strong. He can do all he can to try to get the strong, but he knows the strong is not going to lose focus. Now, they might from time to time, but a lot of time they're not going to lose focus. But the weak, oh, they're going to lose focus, and they're going to lose focus quick. And if we do not do what we're supposed to, we'll lose them back to the world. But we need to be doing all we can to save them. How to maintain freedom. We need to stay in prayer. We need to stay in prayer. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 in the verse 17 that we pray without ceasing. Are you willing to pray to God? Are you willing to talk to Him? Tell Him about your problems. Tell Him about your downfalls. Are you willing to tell Him about everything that's bothering you? Or are you willing to stop and give Him thanks for what He has done for you, where He has brought you from? We need to talk to Him. We need to have a communication line that is always open. He will never hang up on you. I just want you to know that right now. Not the God that I know. He will never hang up on you. A lot of times we act like we don't hear Him. There's a bad connection somewhere. Lord, what did you say? It didn't change. The word is still there. It's still the same. You go back and read it. You go back and you read what it says and do what it says. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, I want you to realize you can become one of His children on tonight, on this evening. All you need to do is come and to make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, be immersed in the water of grave baptism. Again, remember, old things are past. They're past. You're a new creature now. Once you come out of that water to walk a newness of life, you're no longer in darkness, but now you're in the light. You know what happened? The world is going to treat you different. You're going to have some times where you're going to think, man, I didn't have these problems before. And I just want you to know, yes, you had those problems before. You just didn't recognize that you had them because they had you so caught up. They had you right where they wanted you, thinking that everything is all right. But now that you come to the light, you realize, man, those were some problems. And when they come back at you again, you realize that I don't want to go back down that road. But you know, it's like medication sometimes. We take that medication and we feel good and we think that we don't need it any longer. That's the way we are with God from time to time. Lord, everything is all right in my life. I don't need you. I want you to know something. He don't need you either. And as we were told when we were growing up, and as we have told, you need me before I need you. That's God. And he's waiting on people to turn to him to make that confession. Lord, I need you. I need you when things are going good. I need you when things are going bad. I need you in my life. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, again, I want you to become one. God wants you to become one. We want you to become one. We want you to become part of the family of God. And when you become one, we will help you along your way. Maybe you're here and you're strayed away from the fold. We want you to come back. He wants you to come back as well. Wants you to do the things that's right. Wants you to come out of the darkness and back to the light. Serving him in a way that is pleasing and acceptable in his sight. So if you need to make a confession, make that confession. You need to repent, repent. You need prayer, ask for prayer. But let's do it today while we have breath in this body. For tomorrow is not yours. James says your life is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. Let's do what is right on today. If you're hearing your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.